Thursday night, Kathy Stanley invited me and a few others to go to the rodeo. The entertainment for the evening was the Temptations. So after the rodeo, while they were setting up for the Temptations, I posted a selfie of myself and Kathy and Teresa Knuckles on Facebook. Right away, I get a message from Wesley saying, "My pastor does selfies, yes." But then I got an email from Roger Painter saying, "This week's lectionary is about temptation, and here you are looking for temptation at the rodeo." So I felt like I needed to mention to you all that I went in search of temptation and just for this service, and I found it, and I really liked it. So. But our scripture today is about temptation. Jesus being tempted. Although I wonder, really, was Jesus really tempted? Certainly, Satan attempted to tempt Jesus, but was he really tempted? I guess bread after 40 days of fasting might have been tempting, but I just don't know. What is it that really tempts us all? Things? Food? Fame? Power? Looks? What is it that really tempts us? It's been interesting to watch over the years and see how advertising has changed. I remember watching advertisements where it was all about the quality of the product. You know, I really worried about the Maytag fix-it man who was never going to have work because the Maytag washers and dryers always lasted forever. It was all about how well things were made. And then we went through a celebrity endorsement phase, where whoever was willing to put their name out there was whether or not we wanted to buy it or not. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. I can't help but think about Samsonite luggage and someone running through the airport and jumping over the luggage. Maybe not the best endorsement anymore. But now it seems that advertising has gone the direction of, if you buy this, your lifestyle will become like this. We've begun to attach self-worth to what we have. If you don't have this phone that has just come out, and if you don't get it today, the first day it comes out, you're not going to be worthy. If you don't drive this car or have these things, you're not going to be happy. And the world is following right along with all the hype. And we set our self-worth according to what we have. And some people are running themselves and their families into the ground because they have this real need to identify with something, to feel like they fit in, that they connect. What we discover, usually pretty early on, is that those things don't give us what we need, and it sends us in search of other things. Owning things don't help us to connect, not to our identity or who we are. Identity is an interesting topic. We tend to want to identify ourselves with what's really down deep inside our soul. Sometimes people take a long time to try and find themselves, to figure out who they really are. I said last week that we identify ourselves a lot by what we do. One of the first things we want to know, what do? But we also identify people by the things they have, what they drive, Oh, they drive that. They must be pretty hip. Or they drive that. They must be a soccer mom. Well, what we do and what we have are ways that people identify us. I'll be so bold as to say relationships are the biggest part of our identity. Think about it. When someone asks you to identify, what do you say? I'm a wife. Well, I'm not a wife without a husband. Relationship. Oh, well, I'm a parent. Well, I'm not a parent without children. Relationship. I'm a student. Well, you're not a student without a school, without a teacher. Relationships. I could go on, but hopefully you get where I'm headed. Our identity is firmly rooted in who we're in relationship with. It's really hard to talk about yourself without talking about who you're in relationship with. I'll be the first to admit that I get caught up in all of the business of the world, especially when it comes to gadgets. That new phone or that new iPad comes out, and I start thinking to myself, ooh, wouldn't that be cool? Think of all I could do if I got that new iPad. And then suddenly my old one starts, you know, doing crazy stuff, and I think, oh, maybe I need that new one. Maybe I need it. But our scripture today shows us that our identity comes not from stuff, but from our relationship with our Creator. We didn't read the Old Testament reading today, but it's a familiar story of Eve in the garden being tempted. And then our gospel reading today, that familiar story of Jesus being tempted. But Jesus didn't play the game. Satan tried to make Jesus doubt his identity. If you really are the Son of God, if you really are, then you'll do this. But Jesus didn't play the game. Jesus sticks firm to his identity. He knows whose he is. And that gives him the strength to say, no, I don't need those things. I have what I need, my relationship to God. Everything I read lately is about decluttering. Going through and getting rid of what you don't use. We're doing it around here, trying to get a place for everything and everything in its place. It's like it's the new word, the new thing to do. And I was thinking this morning as I was looking for something I couldn't find. What in my life do I need to declutter? Not necessarily stuff, but what stuff is in here? And what stuff is in here that I need to declutter? Maybe there are some judgmental things that I need to clear out. Maybe there are some control things that I need to let go of. Maybe there's some anger issues that need to be dealt with. Maybe there are some justice things I need to bring to the surface. There are things in our life that keep us from focusing on our relationship with Jesus. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. But the bad guy is always so exciting. I mean, who didn't love JR all those years on Dallas? Who doesn't get excited when the evil witch rides up in her sleigh and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Who doesn't, just for a brief moment, want just once for the devil to play the fiddle just a little bit better than Johnny. We like bad just a little, don't we? We like it in our movies. We like it in our TV shows. We like it in books. And maybe sometimes we even like it just a little bit in our own lives. It sometimes feels good to be just a little bad, doesn't it? In C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, there's a junior tempter in training named Woodworm. Wormwood, sorry. And his mentor is Uncle Screwtape. And Wormwood's task is to darken the heart of his patient, to train him to love things worldly and to reject God, so that Wormwood can escort him into what we can only imagine is hell. He's advised to keep his patient navel-gazing and self-involved, clueless about who he really is. And Uncle Screwtape advises various ways to keep his patient distracted. Encourage him to pray for tangible things. Direct his prayers to objects, not God. Make his own mother grate on his nerves. No response from this first few rows, okay? In the final letter, the patient dies and goes to heaven, leaving Wormwood a failure and Screwtape in a spiral of anger. The most important part of the story is not that Wormwood and Screwtape are trying to create these super evil killers, but they're trying to create a generation of people who are selfish and insincere and petty and who have a need to control things. It's a little difficult for us to relate to temptation like being offered food after 40 days of having none, or being held over a ledge and thinking we may be dropped, or having power over the whole world offered to us. Temptation comes to us like that from Wormwood and Screwtape. It comes in moments when we look at others and feel insecure at not having enough. Temptation comes when we judge those around us for being different. Temptation is when we look away from those in need and we live our lives unaffected by poverty and hunger and disease. We succumb to temptation when we become addicted to wealth and power and influence, and yes, even control. Temptation gets the victory when we get so caught up in the trappings of life that we lose sight of life itself. Jesus avoided temptation by relating to God, the very essence of his identity. Jesus says, "Worship the Lord." It was in knowing God that he avoided the traps of the world, and it was through worship that he stayed in relationship with God. In the Screwtape letters, it was obvious that the way to draw the patient away was to take his view of his identity away, make him think about himself more, make him start to feel inferior. We get so caught up in what the world wants. We lose connection, which is our identity. We let the world tell us what this time needs to be, what this community needs to be. We let the world say, "I need to be entertained. I need to worship to be about me without asking what I can give or do or what I need to do to prepare myself for worship." We let the world say, "I'm too busy to read or to study or to grow in my faith." I'll make this 1 hour on Sunday and call it good. When God says, walk with me all the way. This is the first Sunday of our Lenten journey. And it's a tough road. I don't think anyone would deny that. But it's part of our relationship with Christ. It's part of our identity. And we need to find a way to let those things of this world that weigh us down and prevent us from being in relationship with Jesus on this journey. We need to lay them down, to set them aside, and to tune in to what Jesus went through so that I can be and so that you can be the people we're called to be. Because Jesus walked this road for us. We need to be there to walk it with him. It's who and whose we are. Amen. And amen.